What's up, everyone? We are back at Between the Tackles. Thanks for joining us. We are upon draft week. Draft week is finally here. For, like I said in the last episode, for some of people, it is NFL Christmas, only second to opening weekend. As always, find us on Apple, find us on Spotify, leave us a review, comment, follow, subscribe. Goes a long way in helping us continue to grow our platform here at Between the Tackles. We've gone a long way this summer at the end of last season. We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to bring you the best NFL content, insight that we can, and your support all makes that happen. We're also on social media, YouTube, X, Instagram, TikTok, at Tackles Pod. You can find us there. Clips, tweets, episodes, everything, you name it, it's there. If you're only on Facebook, like my mom is, search Between the Tackles, you'll find it there. She loves watching the videos on Facebook, so you can too. Manish, welcome back. How are we doing? How are we feeling about draft week?
I'm doing great, Burge. I mean, I'm also excited about the NBA playoffs, but maybe we'll have a special episode about that at some point.
No, you won't catch me talking basketball unless you want to talk hockey. We could do a hockey. We could do a hockey basketball crossover.
Let me tell you something about hockey. So I have a friend of mine who is babysitting game one, the night of game one of Flyers Penguins, and apparently the Flyers have not made the playoffs for a long time. I'm completely out of the loop, and he's a diehard Flyers fan. So yeah, I mean, people in Philadelphia are all flyered up. So maybe if they win a series or so, maybe I'll jump on the bandwagon.
Guess who my Boston Bruins are playing in the NHL playoffs?
Who?
They are playing the city that I despise the most.
The Sabres?
The wow. Buffalo Sabres. The only time I get revved up, anytime Buffalo gets talked about, I get revved up, whether it's football or it's hockey. But we are here tonight to talk about football. We have our final mock draft to bring your way. And I'm just going to get right into it because number one overall, it's the Raiders picking. I think if anybody is saying it's going to be other than this guy, you're crazy. It's not going to happen. It's Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. Great fit for Clint Kubiak. We've said it. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. He's going to play in Tom Brady's organization. There's not really much more to say here because when the Raiders hit the clock, it's going to be real quick. They're going to turn in the card for Fernando Mendoza. Manish, I'm going to turn it over to you for the second overall pick. Team you know very well, the New York Jets.
Yeah, it seems like that's really where the draft begins because Mendoza is going to be the first pick for the Raiders. The question becomes, do the Jets take Texas Tech pass rusher David Bailey or do they take Ohio State outside linebacker, inside linebacker Arvell Reese? There's a split here among people. You know, some fans think Reese has the higher ceiling, which he may, but I do think that David Bailey is the better edge pass rusher. Jets need that badly, and the questions about whether he can play against the run I think are fair, but his career pressure rate has been historically good, and it was even better this past season. I think he's the best pass rusher in the draft, and although he's not as versatile as Reese, I think that the Jets will settle on David Bailey. Wouldn't surprise me if they go Reese, but for purposes of this final mock draft, I'm going to go with David Bailey.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that the Jets need defensive help. We've talked about it kind of at nauseam here over during the course of the offseason with the New York Jets. Their defense was atrocious last year. Aaron Glenn play calling is a superpower. We've talked about that too. So they gotta address whatever they can defensively. And I think getting Bailey would be a good fit for them. We're going to move along to number three here. It's the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, for me, they got a new head coach in Mike LaFleur there. They are going to have Kyler Murray is no longer there for their offense. They're clearly rebuilding. So we're going to have them take the top running back prospect, and Jeremiah Love. Look, he's going to be a playmaker for that offense immediately. You know, the Cardinals, they've had some holes at running back. James Conner's not getting any younger. They did draft Trey Benson last year, and you did see a little bit play in there. But Jeremiah Love has a chance to be a generational type player. at the position, could be the next Bijan or the next CMC, kind of the dual threat. Pass catcher, can run the ball. He's explosive. I think he'd be a great fit for Mike LaFleur as the Cardinals start this, going through this whole rebuild process from the teardown from the bottom up.
Yeah, look, the Cardinals could go any direction here. There's a reason why they're picking third. They're not very good. So offensive line seems to be an area that they could target as well. But because they have an offensive-minded head coach in Mike LaFleur, and there is this dynamic weapon who some people believe is the best prospect in the draft, regardless of position, I just don't think they're going to pass him up. And it's hard to argue with that. I mean, there's a school of thought that says you don't take running backs that high, but if he's a difference maker for an offensive-minded head coach who needs difference makers on that roster, Love would be a very smart choice, and that's why we're going with him at three.
Yeah, you know, I mean, do they want to go offensive line? I think a fan base might be upset if they pass on a blue chip prospect to go with an offensive lineman. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think Jeremiah Love's going to be a slam dunk pick for Mike LaFleur in the Cardinals. Manish, we have a trade at number four. We have a trade at number four in our mock draft here. What do we have going on here?
We do. So there's been a lot of chatter that the Dallas Cowboys, who have picks 12 and 20, are looking to move up. And the way that the board has fallen to this point through the first three picks, I think that Jerry Jones would pull the trigger, moving up, trading both 12 and 20 to the Tennessee Titans, who have the fourth pick and who are rumored to be looking to move down. The Cowboys would have to give up both of their first round picks, but they would get back the Titans' third round pick. When you look at the draft points chart, that's about an even trade, to a first and a third for the two first round picks. And Dallas is going to get up to take their new Micah Parsons, and that's Arvell Reese. Will he be Michael Parsons? Who knows? But he has the talent and the skill set to make that kind of difference. And I think that Jerry Jones looks at the possibility of getting a Micah Parsons replacement on the cheap on his rookie contract. And I think he's willing to move both of those first-round picks in order to get who some people think is the best defensive player in this draft.
I think it makes perfect sense for Jerry Jones to make a move like this, having those two first-round picks to really get a blue-chip player for his defense, where their defense really needs some help. Moving on to number five, it's the Giants. John Harbaugh in his first season. We haven't taken offensive tackle out of Miami. Francis Maui-Noua. He had a medical recheck in Indy. He might need some sort of procedure on his back in the future, but the Giants need help on the offensive line, and John Harbaugh is going to want to shore that up. And I think spending a top five draft pick for the Giants makes a lot of sense. They could also go a different route, go to the defense, or take a skilled position player at this spot. But I think ultimately John Harbaugh is going to want to take and shore up that offensive line for his young quarterback in Jackson Dart. We got at six, Manish.
Well, it's the first of two first-round picks for the Cleveland Browns. They have two obvious areas of need, and that's wide receiver, offensive line. We've kind of ping-ponged back and forth in the first two mock drafts. I think we're going to settle on who I believe is the best wide receiver in this draft class, and that's Ohio State wide receiver Carnell Lake at six. I think the Browns will have options at offensive line later in the first round, but, there are rumblings that the Browns are also looking to trade down, so perhaps they do that to acquire more draft capital. But if they stay at six, I think Carnell Tate's going to be the pick.
I think I think that's a great move to help the Browns kind of shore up their offense. They need talent. They need talent. Who knows who's going to be throwing them the football, right? Next year, we don't know. But if you give skill positions help to any of those guys, their chances to improve, go up quite a bit. So I think that's a great move for the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to keep it with you here, Manish, for number seven. What do we have going on here at seven?
Well, we have our second trade of the first round, and it's the New York Jets, who already have the 16th pick, but I think that they are going to do business with the Washington Commanders, who have the number seven pick. There's an obvious link. Both general managers, Darren Mooji for the Jets, Adam Peters for the Washington Commanders, worked in the same Denver Broncos scouting department for, I believe, 5 years. And it makes too much sense because the Jets have 2 second-round picks and 2 fourth-round picks, while the Commanders have no second-round picks and no fourth-round picks. So the Commanders can move down from 7 to 16, get whole by reacquiring a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. The Jets have second and fourth-round picks to spare. They'll trade the number 44 overall pick, which is their second-round pick, and they'll trade the 140th overall pick, which is the last pick in the fourth round, to move up from 16 to 7. And you ask, why are they moving up from 16 to 7? I'm going with Jordan Tyson, Arizona State wide receiver, an explosive, dynamic player who has been hampered with a hamstring issue that has really kept him on ice this entire offseason. And maybe people have forgotten about how dynamic he is. The Jets are looking for a viable wide receiver opposite of Garrett Wilson. They've got a couple guys in-house who I think are good players, but Jordan Tyson could end up being as good or better than Garrett Wilson. There's a school of thought that maybe they want a bigger-bodied wide receiver. Maybe Jordan Tyson doesn't fill that bill, but at the end of the day, as a general manager, you're in the business of getting difference-making players, and they need another difference-maker at wide receiver. I don't care if he's not necessarily a quote-unquote big-bodied wide receiver. When Jordan Tyson is healthy, he is an explosive player, and even though I said that Carnell Tate is my number one wide receiver in this draft class, a healthy Jordan Tyson is right up there with him.
Hey, adding defensively and offensively in the top 7 picks of the NFL draft, Jets fans got to love to hear that. They got to love to hear getting that kind of talent into New York, especially since they've traded all of their talent away going into this, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what the Jets do. Love how active this early mock draft is. I love trades on draft day. So hopefully we got a couple more here coming down the pipe. But at number 8, we have the New Orleans Saints on the clock. It's going to be Reuben Bain Jr. from Miami. The Saints need the help on defense. Arguably, Bain is the best edge player in the draft. Had over 9.5 sacks last season and 15.5 tackles for loss. I mean, if you can translate that to the NFL environment, he's going to step in and help a Saints team, a young Saints team that's kind of, I want to say they played a lot better last year than I thought they were going to. It helps with finding a quarterback that's competent and can play. So helping defense out at 8 seems like a slam dunk move. There was the off-field incident with Reuben Bain that came out in recent days. So that may give the Saints a little bit of pause there. So if they are paused there, they could go on the offensive side of the ball. But we have them going on defense and taking Reuben Bain Jr. I'm going to move right on to number 9, talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. They need help off on the offensive line. They need to protect Patrick Mahomes as he gets older and coming off that ACL injury. They did lose some help on the offensive line this offseason. So taking Utah's Spencer Fano to kind of shore up that line for Andy Reid at the right tackle position can play elsewhere along the line. But having that position shored up going into next season with Patrick Mahomes rehabbing from that injury, blocking for newly acquired Kenneth Walker in the backfield, I think would be a kind of a slam dunk move. We'll say that Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, with Travis Kelce aging, should be a consideration and was a consideration for us when we were conducting this mock draft to, you know, kind of pass the torch, so to speak, at that position. That's critical for Patrick Mahomes in that offense. Let's move it on to number 10. Cincinnati Bengals on the clock. Who do we got, Manish?
Well, we're going with Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles. Really no holes in his game. This is an offseason of defense for the Cincinnati Bengals. We know what they have on offense. We know their shortcomings on defense. I thought they did a really nice job in free agency, adding some defensive pieces. Sonny Styles, to me, is a no-brainer pick for them. They need to significantly upgrade the defense, and Sonny Styles, to me, is a guy who has very few deficiencies, and he's going to be a difference-making player from day one.
Absolutely. At 11, we have the Miami Dolphins on the clock. We've talked about the Dolphins on our previous mock drafts with a rookie head coach in Jeff Hafley. They need defense down there in Miami. Makes perfect sense for them to draft Ohio State safety Caleb Downs. They did lose, you know, Micah Fitzpatrick, Bradley Chubb in the offseason and free agency. So I think starting to replenish that defense as they really have torn that organization down this offseason, getting a player of Downs' ability into that defense early in that rebuild, I think could go a long way in kind of jumpstarting that defense back to, you know, I'll use the word competent level going into next season. I hope it doesn't happen as a Patriots fan, but I think that getting this player for Miami Dolphins fans should be very, very happy to see that happen. At 12, Manish, what do we got going on here? This is the Titans pick from the trade previously with the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think that Robert Saleh is going to be doing backflips because they're going to get LSU cornerback Mansoor Delane. He's arguably the best cornerback in this draft. Robert Saleh can't get enough good defensive players. And to me, moving down from 4 to 12 to get perhaps the best player at his position is ultimately going to be proven to be a wise move for Tennessee.
Absolutely. And I think screams a fit with defensive-minded Robert Saleh there in Tennessee while accumulating other draft assets from the trade with the Cowboys. Moving on to 13 here, it's the Los Angeles Rams. This is a pick received from the Atlanta Falcons in the trade last year at the draft. We got them taking a wide receiver, Mekhi Lemon from USC. No question that the Rams have some aging players. Matthew Stafford's getting older. Well, Devontae Adams is also getting older too. Puka Nacua has had his share of issues this offseason. So infusing some young talent into the wide receiver position for Sean McVay screams slam dunk for him. Lemon can slot right in into that offense, be a player day one, and basically get to learn from some really good players over their career to kind of help shape his early years as an NFL player. So Mekhi Lemon, 13 to the Los Angeles Rams. Manish, the Ravens are on the clock at 14.
Look, we talked about getting a weapon for Lamar Jackson. I think that people assume that means wide receiver. I'm going to go with Oregon tight end Kenyon Sadiq, number 14 to the Baltimore Ravens to help out Lamar Jackson in Jesse Minter's first season. They have a very interesting guy as their offense coordinator, 29-year-old Declan Doyle, who previously worked for Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, who, by the way, drafted a tight end in Colston Loveland with a top 15 pick, I believe, top 10, top 15 pick. Nothing new for Doyle to work with a talented young tight end. Sadiq, you know, a lot has been talked about how impressive he was at the combine. I think that NFL teams knew how impressive he was before the combine. His ceiling is immense. And again, if you can add a weapon for Lamar Jackson, you'd be helping him out working in this new offense with Declan Doyle. Could have gone a couple other directions, but I ultimately think, you know, getting someone to help their franchise quarterback is the way to go.
Especially after losing Isaiah Likely in free agency, Mark Andrews is not getting any younger. I think that's a big fit for the Baltimore Ravens. At 15, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. They need some help on defense. Todd Bowles needs some defensive help down there in Tampa Bay. Miami edge player Akeem Mesidor had 12.5 sacks last season. He's going to contribute to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next season after they select him here at pick 15. Todd Bowles definitely wants to add some help to that defense, given how that team fell apart in the second half of 2025. Moving on to 16, I'll talk about this one. It's the Commanders on the clock. This is a result of our trade earlier with the New York Jets. We have them taking Tennessee cornerback Jermaine McCoy. You know, we talked a lot about him over the course of our previous drafts. He did not play last year because he missed it with an ACL injury. But talent-wise, he's among the best at his position in the draft this year. And the Commanders get some much-needed help defensively. Dan Quinn, I'm sure, wants to add some secondary help there in Washington. So we have Jermaine McCoy going to the Commanders at 16. Detroit Lions on the clock, Manish, at 17. What do we got?
Well, they need to find a replacement for Taylor Decker, and I think Monroe Freeling, the offensive tackle from Georgia, will do just that. It's interesting because as the draft process has gone along, Freeling's stock has really risen. I mean, there's a school of thought that he might even go top 10, but I think when the dust is settled, he'll be a mid-first round pick. The sky's the limit. They absolutely need a right tackle. I think he can be a day one starting right tackle for the Detroit Lions and to help protect Jared Goff.
They need it. They need it. Infuse that young talent on that offense up in Detroit. 18, Minnesota Vikings, NFC North rival of the Detroit Lions on the clock. We have them taking Toledo safety, Emmanuel McNeil Warren, over Dylan Tiedemann. I think, you know, the Vikings need some help defensively. They have so much talent offensively. You know, they spent money in free agency on Kyler Murray to hopefully try to shore up or at least bridge that quarterback position, given the disaster that J.J. McCarthy has been for them in Minnesota. But, you know, they need to start addressing defensively, and getting a player of McNeil Warren's caliber here at 18 is going to go a long way to help them out. So 18, McNeil Warren to the Minnesota Vikings. Manish, Panthers on the clock at 19. What do we got?
Yeah, you know, I keep going back to Panthers general manager Dan Morgan's history. As the GM, and then before that as the assistant GM in Carolina, and he has a tendency to take offensive skill position players, that I think he's going to stick to that, take Texas A&M wide receiver Casey Concepcion. They could have gone at offensive line, tight end, defensive line, even though they addressed pass rushing in the free agency period, that could have been a consideration. But I see the tea leaves when it comes to Dan Morgan, and he loves his offensive skill position players, and Concepcion is one of the top wide receivers that I think would be a nice complement with Tet McMillan and help out Bryce Young as well.
Get Bryce Young some help. Keep giving him help. Keep continuing his development upwards, not downwards. 20. Titans are on the clock with the second pick of the Cowboys trade. But I'm going to take this trade from you, Manish. It's your Eagles. It's your Eagles trading up here. I'll let you talk on this trade here right after I'm done. But the Eagles are going to trade up and draft Alabama's offensive tackle, Caden Proctor. We've talked quite a bit about the Eagles and their offensive line concerns on this podcast throughout the season. Lane Johnson's not getting any younger. You know, this trade, they have to jump the Steelers and the Chargers. Chargers are obviously right in the market for offensive line help, given the debacle that their offensive line was at the end of the season last year. A lot of upside with Caden Proctor. Very athletic player. I think he's going to slot right in. Could be the successor to Lane Johnson on that offensive line at the tackle position. Any thoughts, Manish?
Yeah, I think offensive line needs to be where the Eagles go. And I do think it's fascinating, given the way that the board has fallen, that Howie Roseman is not going to wait for a guy that he covets to fall to him at 23. And given, as you said, Pittsburgh and the Chargers, who are 21 and 22, may be interested in a offensive lineman as well, why not go get the guy that you want? The Eagles have ample draft picks they could offload. And Caden Proctor, to me, is fascinating. He's 358 pounds. He's a massive man, but he's very athletic for his size. And they absolutely need to find a Lane Johnson replacement, because Lane Johnson will play this year. I anticipate this being his final season. I do not anticipate him being healthy enough to play the entire season. You saw that a year ago. He's breaking down. And Proctor perhaps could slide into guard for a season. But ultimately, the potential and the skill set is just too much. Now, there's some concerns about entitlement there. I think that can be coached out of him as he gets more mature. But Howie Roseman is smart enough to identify the talent, and the talent is just tremendous. And if he is within striking distance of getting this player, I think he's going to move up to try to do so.
Absolutely. And at 21, Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, starting to run on some offensive linemen. We're going to have them take Clemson offensive tackle Blake Miller. You know, we don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year still. Will Aaron Rodgers sign at some point during this offseason? Who knows? But they need to address the offensive line to protect whoever the heck is going to be playing quarterback back there, especially if it is a younger player that they select in the draft at some point in any round. So shoring up that offensive line is a big need for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 22, Chargers, Manish.
Yeah, offensive line. you got to protect Justin Herbert. He's been banged up for the better part of his career. You saw what the Patriots did against Herbert in the playoff game. If Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater, both of their tackles, return healthy, as you would anticipate that they would, they should be okay, at least at the outset, on the edges. Penn State interior offensive lineman Vega Ione is going to be the no-brainer pick for me. You know, some people, like CBS sports analyst Pete Prisco, believe that Vega is the best offensive line prospect in this draft. But because he's a guard, he's not as highly coveted as a tackle, which is completely understandable the way the NFL is played. But when you look at pure skill set, Vega, to me, is a plug-and-play guard who can shore up the interior of the Chargers' line. It's going to make Herbert happy. It's going to make Mike McDonald happy. It's going to make Jim Harbaugh happy. I just think when I look at the Eagles and Chargers, they really need to improve their offensive lines, and I think both teams will do so on the first night of the draft.
Absolutely. 23, it's the Titans on the clock after their infamous trade down with the Philadelphia Eagles. And they have a defensive-minded head coach. They need some help defensively. We're going to have them go defensive again, and we're going to have them taking Clemson edge rusher T.J. Parker. He's coming off a little bit of a down season, but he did play well during the week of the Senior Bowl. And Robert Saleh wants to build up that defense. He comes from the defensive background. He wants to have a strong defense. T.J. Parker is going to fit, slot right into that defense. And if they can, recover a little bit from his down season like last year, he's gonna slot right in and be just fine playing for a guy like Robert Saleh in Tennessee. Cleveland Browns, Manish, what do we got? Their second first rounder.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Offensive line and wide receiver were big areas of need. They took Carnell Tate with the number 6 overall pick. We're going to go with a raw but talented offensive tackle from Utah, Caleb Lomu. He's a guy who did not allow a sack last season, but if you're being objective in your analysis, you do know that he's got more work to do, but the potential and the talent is there. And I think that the Browns, with one of those two picks, has to come away with a tackle. And I think they're going to go with this player at 24 instead of taking offensive line with that top 6 pick. And again, the caveat is that the Browns are looking to trade down from 6 to acquire more draft picks, and ultimately they may do that. But in this mock, we're keeping picks 6 and 24, and they're addressing their two biggest needs.
25, the Chicago Bears are on the clock now. We've talked about them in our previous mock drafts, about what they need to address, and that is defense. Oregon safety, Dylan Tiedemann. Right there, 25 for him. Helps shore up that secondary for Ben Johnson in Chicago and kind of rebuild try to build up that defense to match kind of where their offense was at the end of last season. So Dylan Tiedemann at 25 to the Chicago Bears. I'm going to move it right along and talk about my most hated team. I can't stand them. I just got done talking at the beginning at the top about how I can't stand the Buffalo Sabres either. But the Buffalo Bills are going to make a really good draft pick here at 26. They're going to take Auburn edge Keldrick Falk. Look, they needed help on defense. Their defense at times for most of last season struggled. They struggled. You know, part of the reason why they didn't end up winning the AFC East from my New England Patriots was for the fact that their defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. So getting a player of Falk's ability late here in the first round for new defensive coordinator Jim Leonard, I think that this is a smart pick for the Buffalo Bills. It's the only time you're going to hear me say something smart about the Buffalo Bills is in a fake mock draft, okay? So take the victory where you can get it, all right? But let's move it along to 27. It's the San Francisco 49ers. Manish, who we got the 49ers going with here?
I love this pick for Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. It's Indiana wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr. He'll take the place of Brandon Ayuk, who is still on ice and still technically a member of the San Francisco 49ers as of this recording. He obviously will not be when the season rolls around. But Cooper, as we have talked about in previous podcasts, tough wide receiver, Fernando Mendoza's number one option at Indiana. He'll go across the middle. And I know that the 49ers have to address offensive line with this impending divorce with Trent Williams, but I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze at this point in the draft. I think you get the more talented player in Omar Cooper Jr. He's a player who, frankly, would not surprise me if he was long gone when the draft rolls around Thursday night, if he's closer to a mid-first-round pick, somewhere in the 16 to 20 range. But he is available in this mock draft, and at 27, I do not think that Kyle Shanahan will be able to pass up Cooper.
Absolutely. We're going to move on to 28 here, and I'm looking at our notes, and we might have skipped this pick in our mock draft. So I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to go and improvise this pick on the fly. It's the Houston Texans on the clock at 28. Look, Houston Texans need some help on their offensive line, right? They need it. They got exposed in the playoffs last year. So I'm going to have them shore up their interior of their offensive line and take Chase Bisonas from Texas A&M. He's a guard. He is a big guy, 6'5", 315 pounds. They got to protect C.J. Stroud. They got to do it. They got to protect him moving forward, and he's the guy for him. So on the fly, mark my words, if this actually happens and they pick him at 28, you're not going to hear the end of it from Burge, right? You're not going to hear the end of it, but that's the pick.
That's actually a really good pick because he's a fascinating player. I think Jet fans are hoping that he makes it to day two because I'm sure there are a lot of teams that are hoping to get him early in the second round. But there is a school of thought that maybe he will sneak in to the first round. So I like the pick. You're quick on your feet there, Burge.
hey, I realized it. I'm like, uh-oh, I gotta make a pick, and I'm reading on him, and I'm real quick. I took a quick glance at his notes. Sign me up. He fits right into what the Houston Texans need to protect C.J. Stroud to avoid another massacre in the playoffs like what occurred up in New England last year. You could tell I was really happy about that playoff win last year, so I got to get some jabs in there. But let's move on to 29, Manish. We got the Kansas City Chiefs. Who you got?
We're going Tennessee cornerback Colton Hood. He's a well-rounded cover corner, and I think it makes a lot of sense. They need to bolster that side of their defense. So their second pick goes to defense, and they got offensive line with their first pick. They got a secondary player with their second pick. I think he's too good of a player if he lasts at 29 to pass up. And I think there's a school of thought that maybe he won't be there, but he's available in this mock draft at this point. So I'm going to grab him.
There you go. I want you to give me the pick 30 here, Miami Dolphins, second first rounder.
Yeah, and this is from the Jalen Waddle trade with the Denver Broncos, and we're going with the Texas A&M edge, Cassius Howell. There's concerns about whether he's got adequate length, but there are a lot of guys at the edge rusher position that have some unknowns, some question marks. We talked about Keldrick Falk a moment ago going to the Buffalo Bills. He's young, and it may take a little bit of time for him to, kind of get going. Cassius Howell, to me, at this stage, late in the first round, Dolphins, as you said earlier, with Halfley, defense, they really need to improve that side of the ball. And Howell makes a lot of sense toward the end of the first round.
Absolutely. Oh, it's my favorite pick of the draft. It's number 31 overall. It's the New England Patriots on the clock. And we're pulling a Bill Belichick special right here on the Between the Tackles mock draft. The New England Patriots are trading out of number 31. They're going to trade back to number 33 with the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals move up, as we know, towards the end of the first round. These picks get a little bit more valuable, not necessarily for the players that are there, but for the fact that a team that gets a player that gets drafted here is eligible for the fifth-year option for being a first-round pick. And that's why the Arizona Cardinals are making this move. They're going to draft a quarterback. His name is Ty Simpson. Jacoby Brissett's the only guy down there in Arizona. Get a young prospect in there late at 31, and you get the fifth-year option if it pans out, which is a smart move for the Arizona Cardinals to make. The New England Patriots, as a fan of the team, I'm kind of expecting this to happen at this point. It's been kind of nice the last couple of years, right, with the Patriots picking early. I didn't have to stay up until midnight to watch who they're going to pick just to watch them trade out of the first round. I can't tell you how many times I've done that over the years. But to me, this kind of seems to make a little bit of sense given what the Patriots are in need of and, accumulating additional draft assets in the process. I'm always a fan of that. I love the manipulating and moving around the draft board. So I would not hate this as a New England Patriots fan. Manish, 32, close us out in the first round here. Let's hear it.
Well, before I talk about what happens at 32, let's not forget that in all likelihood, you know, all signs are pointing to the New England Patriots trading for Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. And if it does happen after June 1st, which it appears now that it will, the Patriots are essentially getting A.J. Brown in round one, as well as whatever they accumulate in this trade down. It looks like they'll be giving up a 2027 first-round pick in all likelihood. It does not seem like the Eagles are going to keep A.J. Brown. During the pre-draft press conference, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni were asked about A.J. Brown, and they gave the stock answer that A.J. Brown is an Eagle. They did not say, we are not trading A.J. Brown, which is code for we will be trading A.J. Brown, and it looks like it'll be the New England Patriots. So let's not forget that A.J. Brown, in all likelihood, will be a member of the New England Patriots soon enough.
It is such music to my ears to hear you say that. It is such music to my ears.
I'm sure it is, and it's very annoying for me personally. We will finish the first round, 32nd pick, Seattle Seahawks. I think if they stay at 32, they will pick the player that I think the team they're trading with in this scenario is going to pick. I have the Seahawks trading down from 32 to 37 with the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, again, making a trade, this time trading up. I believe that the Titans at 32 will take Jadarian Price from Notre Dame. In our previous episode highlighting the top 10 running backs, we talked about Jeremiah Love potentially being in the mix for the Titans. We also had Jadarian Price as our number two running back. I think this makes a lot of sense for Brian Daboll, their new offensive coordinator, and Seattle recoups some later picks moving down the five slots to 37. But I'm giving the Tennessee Titans Jadarian Price. However, if John Schneider decides to stand pat at 32, I think that he will take Jadarian Price to make up for the loss of Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet is coming off a late season injury. So that's something to monitor as well. But I do think, regardless, the number 32 pick, whether it goes to the Seattle Seahawks or in our scenario, the Tennessee Titans, will be Notre Dame running back Jadarian Price.
Be a very interesting compliment to Tony Pollard down there in Tennessee for Robert Saleh. I think that would be fascinating to see. It'd be a nice young player to have to compliment Cam Ward down there. Love to see it. So there you have it. There's the 32 picks of the first round of the NFL draft. Still plenty of talent for round two, right?
Yeah, lots of good players. You got run stuffers, Ohio State defensive tackle Caden McDonald. You've got the big-bodied wide receiver from Washington, Denzel Washington. So many good players that teams are going to be chomping at the bit. What I love about day two of the draft is the entire Friday, because the draft begins Thursday night, the entire Friday leading up to Friday night will be teams jockeying to try to trade up with the teams that have the first three, four, five picks, because there's going to be so many quality players that some teams, frankly, had first-round grades on who are still going to be available, and they're going to want to try to get those guys early in round two. So if you're a team like Tennessee or the Jets or Arizona, if they don't make a trade, they're going to be in position to get some really high-end players, I think, early in day two. So it's always fascinating. Day two is always fascinating because you've got that entire morning and afternoon of rumblings about teams trying to trade up early into round two to try to get players who some people and some teams did not expect to fall.
Just don't be the Patriots and make a trade and give up Ladd McConkey and draft Tyquan Thornton. Just don't do that.
Yeah, but there's always that risk. But yeah, so look, it's going to be a fun night. I think it was Brett Veach, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, that said that he expects a lot of trades in round one, and that always makes for an entertaining night for the consumer, for NFL fans. In our mock draft, we have five first round picks that are going to be dealt. Hopefully, you know, from just a purely entertainment perspective, it's more. You know, it'll make for a longer draft, but it'll make for a more fun draft as well. So that'll do it for us in our final mock draft for the 2026 draft. Make sure again to download and listen to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are also trying to grow our subscriber base on YouTube, so please subscribe, comment. We will engage in comments. We also have video clips, highlights of each episode on all the social platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. So be sure to check us out, Between the Tackles, at TacklesPod. That's where we're at, and we're really appreciative of all of your support as we continue through this offseason.
Can't wait for the NFL draft. Let's get to it. We'll catch you next time on Between the Tackles.